So tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita, chapter number 3, text number 1. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Arjuna Uvacha. Jayasi Chet Karmana Te Mata Buddhi Janardana Tat Kim Karmani Ghore Mam Niyojayasi Keshava. Arjuna Uvacha. Jayasi Chet Karmanaste. Mata Buddhir Janardana. Tat kim karmani ghore mam niyo jayasi keshava. Arjuna uvacha. Jayasi chit karmanaste. Mata buddhir janardana. Tat kim karmani ghore mam niyo jayasi keshava. Arjuna uvacha. Arjuna said, jayasi, better chet if karmanaha, than fruit of action, te, by you, mata, is considered, buddhi, intelligence, janardana, O Krishna, tat, therefore, kim, why, karmani, in action, ghore, ghastly, mam, me, niyojayasi, you are engaging, keshava, O Krishna. Translation in purport, Srila Prabhupada. Arjuna said, O Janardana, O Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly warfare? If you think that intelligence is better than fruitive work, purport. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, has very elaborately described the constitution of the soul in the previous chapter, with a view to delivering his intimate friend Arjuna from the ocean of material grief. And the path of realization has been recommended, buddhi yoga, or Krishna consciousness. Sometimes Krishna consciousness is misunderstood to be inertia, and one with such a misunderstanding often withdraws to a secluded place to become fully Krishna conscious by chanting the holy name of Lord Krishna. But without being trained in the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, it is not advisable to chant the holy name of Krishna in a secluded place, where one may acquire only cheap adoration from the innocent public. Arjuna also thought of Krishna consciousness or buddhi yoga or intelligence in spiritual advancement of knowledge as something like retirement from active life and the practice of penance and austerity at a secluded place. In other words, he wanted to skillfully avoid the fighting by using Krishna consciousness as an excuse. But as a sincere student, he placed the matter before his master and questioned Krishna as to his best course of action. In answer, Lord Krishna elaborately explained karma yoga, our work in Krishna consciousness, in this third chapter. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Kamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raguna Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadvaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitamscha So, this is a very good warning to us. Arjuna, Prabhupada explains, wanted to skillfully use Krishna consciousness as an excuse not to be Krishna conscious. In other words, he wanted to use Krishna consciousness as an excuse not to engage in service. But at least he had enough intelligence to double check his understanding, which was not correct. It was a misunderstanding. At least he had enough brains to double check with Krishna before he left the battlefield in the name of renunciation. So there are many, many lessons to be derived from this wonderful, wonderful verse in Prabhupada. One is, don't cheat in the name of Krishna consciousness. Of course, how could you cheat in the name of Krishna consciousness? That would only be so-called Krishna consciousness. So, this means we have to be very careful to distinguish between genuine Krishna consciousness and pseudo Krishna consciousness. That's a very important thing. Pseudo Krishna consciousness is called Sahajiyism, Sahajiyism. And it is warned by Rupa Goswami, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Viding Vina Aikantaki Harir Bhaktir Udpatta Yaiva Kalpate. That devotional service which is performed without reference to the Vedas, the Puranas, the Pancharatras, etc., is mere sentimentalism, and it is nothing but a disturbance to the human society. So we have to be very careful that we actually follow the pathway of the great acharyas, that we don't concoct our own version of Krishna bhakti. Because we are conditioned souls, if we concoct our own system of Krishna bhakti, what will it lead to? Further conditioning. Pure bhakti can only be revealed by the pure devotee. We cannot concoct a path of pure bhakti. If you want the result of prema bhakti at the end of your practice, then you have to practice Krishna consciousness correctly according to the injunctions given by Srila Rupa Goswami Prabhupada, which Prabhupada has very nicely summarized in the Nectar Devotion, see, for our benefit. We must follow the actual pathway, you see, not the pseudo pathway. And if we follow that genuine pathway, oh, what a wonderful result will come. So nice result will come. So sweet, so sublime, so exhilarating, so exciting at every moment. You see, if one actually becomes Krishna conscious, yasmin stito no dukkhe na gurunapi vichalyate. You see, if he's actually Krishna conscious, he'll never be shaken even in the heaviest circumstances. That word guru means heavy. So that is used by Krishna. Guru napi. He's even in the heaviest situation. Guru napi. Guru napi means even the heaviest. Dukkhena. Dukkhena guru napi. Even in the heaviest difficulties. Vichalyate, you see. He's not shaken. So, this is the test. Do you want to see how much you've advanced in Krishna consciousness? And actually, everyone should be checking themselves, you see. How much am I actually Krishna conscious? You can measure how Krishna conscious you are by how much you are not disturbed even in the most heavy, heavy difficulties. And what is that heaviest difficulty? Death. For one who is actually Krishna conscious, death is a piece of cake. It's the end of the meal, you know. Well, I had a nice dinner, and now time for dessert. Ice cream and cake. For someone who is actually Krishna conscious, death is the ice cream and cake at the end of the meal. It's very sweet, very relishable, you see. Wow. Okay, I've been working hard to earned my plane fare, and now I got my reservation. I buckled my seatbelt, and we're taking off. You know, wow! Is it? Baba said, for a devotee, death means you go to sleep, and you wake up with Krishna. Can you imagine waking up in Goloka Vrindavan? Wow, it's amazing. I've been reading and doing a little, I was actually sneaking ahead in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, in the third part, when Gopakumar actually attained his rasa, his original rasa. I didn't read the other part, but I jumped ahead when he actually woke up in his rasa. It's amazing. The way Krishna reciprocated with him, and he actually regained his identity in Golok. Krishna forgot everybody and he just came to Gopakumara. Krishna fainted in ecstasy of seeing his devotee come back. Krishna completely fainted in ecstasy of seeing his devotee return to Golok. The Brijavasis were a little bit disturbed with Gopakumara because Krishna had fainted over here because of him. But it was amazing to see how much, what kind of reciprocation Gopakumara was getting from Krishna. And this gives us some idea what it will be like when we go back to the Godhead. It's inconceivable, but Krishna, it's described there, but Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami is describing there that actually every devotee is treated by Krishna as the most special of all the devotees, you see. Every devotee is treated as the most special devotee. That's amazing. Krishna can do that, you see. But we see evidence of that concept. Just like those queens in Dwarka. There were a lot of queens. 16,108 queens, you can imagine. And every queen had her own palace. Krishna would go to the court where he would do his daily duty as one Krishna, and then coming home at night, commuting home. It wasn't in a Maruti, it was in a chariot, you know, golden chariot. Commuting home in the evening, he would divide himself into 16,108 Krishnas, go to each palace, and each queen is thinking, wow, I'm the one that gets Krishna in my palace, you see. Every queen felt, I am the most favorite of all of Krishna's queens. And she was, you see. That's the amazing ability of Krishna to treat each and every one of his devotees as the most special devotee of all the devotees. And we see another symptom of this amazing quality of Krishna in the way he reciprocates with preachers, as described in chapter 18 of the Bhagavad Gita. He said, Nachatasman manusheshu kashchan me priyakrittamaha bhavitama chameyashad tatma anya priyatarobhavi. He said, there is nobody more dear to me than the preacher, nor will there ever be anybody more dear to me than he. You see. So if you want to get a taste of a nectar experienced by the Brijavasis in Golok, all you got to do is preach. You get a sneak preview of the reciprocation of the Brijavasis in Golok. Krishna with the Brijavasis. Actually, this preaching is so sweet that one doesn't even feel the need, oh, I have to go back to Godhead, you see. If one absorbs himself in the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, Dari Deka Tadi Kaha Krishna Upadash Amara Agayu Guru Hoyutadi Desh. If he absorbs himself in this, following this instruction of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and then he develops the same feeling of Lord Chaitanya in the As described in Shikshastakam, Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kapitam Vajagadisha Kamaye Mama Janmani Janmadishvade Bhavatat Bhakti Rahaitakitvai. Anyone who strictly follows Lord Chaitanya's order to preach, preach, preach to the world will feel so satisfied. He won't be attracted by money, he won't be attracted by sex life, he won't be attracted by becoming a big, big guru with so many disciples. He won't think he has to go back to Godhead. He'll just be satisfied to engage in devotional service. Bus. You see? So what does one have to do to qualify to taste this sublime nectar? It's very simple. Just tell people about Krishna. Distribute books. Do Harinam, preach, do service to help this movement to become successful as a bhajari, as a toilet cleaner, whatever you can do to help this movement to be successful, that will qualify you for the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even if you feel you're the most fallen, wretched character, is it? There is no restriction. Actually, that's very good. If I'm feeling I'm the most fallen, degraded dog, somehow or other they allowed me to be in this movement, I don't know how, but somehow they allowed me to be here in this cup. That's a very good qualification. Just like Narottam Das Thakur, he is praying, my dear Lord Nityananda, my dear Lord Chaitanya, yes. He prays that Lord Gauranga. My dear Lord Chaitanya, you are Patita Pavana. You are the friend of the most fallen. If you examine all the devotees, you will see there is no one more fallen than me. Therefore, because you are most merciful upon the fallen souls, my claim for your mercy is first. I'm the first one in the queue for your mercy. So if you're feeling, I'm so unqualified, I can't control my senses, I can hardly even wake up in the morning, I mean, I can't control my tongue, I can't control my mind, I'm every bad quality, I'm lazy, I'm greedy, I'm angry, I'm lusty, I'm envious, I get every bad quality in the book, what's the hope for me? Well, If you see how fallen you are, you're the first one in the queue, Prabhu. You're the first one in the queue, Mataji. You're the first one in the queue. For the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So what does that mean? If you simply develop this humble mood of feeling dependent on the mercy of the Lord, there's nothing to stop you. All the restrictions are removed, and you can advance to pure love of Godhead, prema bhakti. This process works if you work the process. It's a very powerful system. One of my students asked me this morning, he said, can a householder be a good devotee? And I said, why be a good devotee? Be a pure devotee. You see? Our goal is not to just be good devotees. You see? Our goal is to become pure devotees. Good devotee, that means the mode of goodness, you see. That's not good enough. It's a good starting point. Being good, that's the starting point. No illicit sex, no meeting, no intoxication, no gambling. Becoming pure, that means learn how to chant those 16 rounds without any offense. You see, that's what will qualify us to go from being a good devotee to being a pure devotee. Simply, we have to learn how to avoid those nama-aparadhas. And what is that first aparad? To be offensive towards devotees. So So how do you avoid being offensive to devotees? By going to a secluded place? No, that's not allowed. Very clear in this purport. You have to worship the devotees. You have to become the devotee of the devotee. This is confirmed by Narottam Das Thakur. Ananda Balahadi Bhajavrindavan Shri Guru Vaishnava Pade Manjayaman. Narottam is telling us you must ecstatically chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And worship that holiest of all tirthas, that amazing place where Krishna is even present at this very moment. What is that place called? Sri Vrindavan Dham. And the next item, always you must always worship the lotus feet of Guru and Vaishnavas. So not only is my Guru Maharaj worshipable, the Vaishnavas, they are also worshipable. So we must hold them very dear in our hearts. As I was explaining this morning in the Bhagavatam class, I was struck with wonder by a purport I read yesterday morning in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Prabhupada says, if one has any envy in one's heart towards a devotee, he cannot go back to Godhead. Wow! That's pretty heavy. So that means we have to clear out all the envy, all any feelings of ill will we have towards any Vaishnava, we have to scrub it out, you see. Even if we have to scrub very hard. Just like I have a flat in the MBT, we have one of those toilets. And for the last 20 years since we got the flat, the water has been dripping, and the mineral deposits, the toilet was completely like brown with these mineral deposits. So I had one of my students, Pranoy, he spent how many hours, Pranoy, cleaning that up? Huh? How many hours? 5 hours? 10 hours?
Less.
10 hours?
No. Less than that.
2 or 3 hours. He spent 2 or 3 hours, and you got some special acid, all kinds of chemicals. I mean, it was really an arduous task, but he got it completely clean, you see. So we have even worse crud in the heart. We have even worse crud accumulated, you know, in our heart, and we have to work very, very hard to clean it up by always trying to appreciate all the devotees. This devotee has this nice quality, that devotee has that nice quality. Always appreciating the devotees. Prabhupada clearly explains this in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada says every person has a combination of good qualities and bad qualities. The devotee is one who's like the honeybee, you see. The honeybee looks for the honey, and the fly looks for the sowers. So, if you want to qualify to go back to Godhead, Prabhupada is making it very, very clear, you have to be a honeybee and not a fly. It sometimes is a challenge to be a honeybee, but it's worth it. It really is worth it. It's the view of a transcendentalist, is it? It's the view of a transcendentalist. So we should really strive for, and it's blissful. I mean, it liberates you from so much distress and anxiety and agony. just to develop the view of a transcendentalist, to always appreciate the devotees. It's such a wonderful thing. That way you can always be happy thinking about the devotees, associating with the devotees. You can always be happy. You can worship their divine qualities, you see. So in this way we can make very steady progress on the pathway of Krishna consciousness. If you can make it past the first offense, the others are very easy to overcome. If you can just learn how to be always appreciate the Vaishnavas, you see, then naturally you will serve your Guru Maharaj, because he's the greatest Vaishnava in your life. Naturally, you will, everything will follow automatically if you can just learn how to appreciate devotees. Everything will come from that one thing. So, we have about 10 minutes left. Anybody have any question? Yeah.
Kshatriya, it was his responsibility to fight, and that was his role and responsibility. So in a similar fashion, being a brahmachari or taking sannyas, is that not like being going away from your responsibilities as, say, a member of a family or somewhere else? Like,
what is this question? Can you help me?
His question is this, that Arjuna was given activity of Kshatriya, he was supposed to fight the battle. So, as a taking up a brahmachari or grahastha life and going away from the family, sannyas life or renounced life or whatever, and then going away from the family, isn't that...
Irresponsibility.
The real point is that Arjuna had to do what Krishna wanted. That's the real point. Krishna wanted Arjuna to fight, so he was appealing to his Kshatriya nature. But the ultimate issue, the ultimate point was that Arjuna had to surrender whatever Krishna wanted. If Krishna wanted that Arjuna not fight, then he would have to not fight. That's the ultimate position. It just so happened he was a Kshatriya and by nature a fighter, and Krishna wanted to use his nature in his service. But even if the Lord wants one to use what is against his nature in the Lord's service, then one has to do that also. So the ultimate issue, one simply has to do whatever Krishna wants. That's the ultimate issue. That's the... Krishna says, sarvadharman paritya jamam ekam sharanang vrja. Every other duty is given up. We have so many duties. Occupational duties, family duty, this duty. Give up all duties. One duty, ekadharma, only surrender to me. So one has to find out, what does Krishna want me to do? So what does Krishna want? He wants us to take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. And that spiritual master then instructs us. That instruction is just as good as hearing it directly from Krishna. That is called the parampara system. It's like you work for some company and you're thinking, well, I'm here working at, you know, XYZ Corporation. I have to be loyal to the CEO of the company. Whatever he tells me to do, I will do. But you can't even approach him. So how will you get instructions from him? No, there's a chain of command within the company. You want to please him? You please your supervisor, who pleases his supervisor, who pleases his supervisor, who reports to the CEO. You see. So pleasing the CEO means you report to your immediate supervisor. So the spiritual master is the immediate supervisor. You follow the instructions of your spiritual master. Whether you should remain brahmachari, get married, you simply consult the spiritual master. He will advise you accordingly what is best for your Krishna consciousness. And that is surrender. That is duty. Okay? Tell me.
The question many times we hear that, I don't know, this is not related to Bhagavad Gita class, but it is regarding something like that. That Prabhupada has not given us the prema bhakti, he just gives us the sadhana and we stay on the sadhana level. We don't.
No, that's not true. Prabhupada has given everything. Some say that, well, Prabhupada has only given sadhana, you have to go somewhere else to get prema. That's garbage. That's complete garbage. That means they haven't read the Nectar of Devotion. They haven't read the Nectar of Devotion. They haven't read the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Prabhupada is giving the highest prema bhakti. Anyone of Prabhupada's books bestows pure prema bhakti. Any other questions? Yes. Mother Parvati.
Two comments. Actually, one's a comment and one's a question. One comment is from your class this morning. You mentioned that you never read or heard that Prabhupada said to chant in the temple or alone or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, there are some incidences where certain sannyasis or brahmacharis force the women to go out of the temple during japa time and chant in the hallway.
Yeah, I'm aware of Prabhupada's instructions in those.
So Prabhupada responded by saying, of course they should be able to chant in the temple, but that devotee should go to the forest.
Yeah, and I read that. Prabhupada said,
so it's getting,
he said, if their brahmacharis are so disturbed by having women in the temple to chant japa, they should go to the forest. That's what he said. I remember Prabhupada said that to them.
So that there you have your ability to chant on your own in a secluded place. So the other thing is kind of a question, which you sort of brought up in the morning, but also continued to carry on here in this class. So the idea is always to avoid offenses to devotees and never be envious of another devotee, never to have ill feelings about another devotee. However, once in a while, you will see some devotee making great offenses to other devotees.
May do what?
Great offenses.
Yes, that's right.
To devotees.
Right.
So my automatic feeling is not in very positive. I don't feel, I feel.
No, such a person has to be corrected.
Yeah.
Not that you, if somebody is being offensive towards Vaishnavas, he has to be corrected. Yeah. It doesn't, not having ill will doesn't mean you don't correct them. At least like Prabhupada, he was the best well-wisher of every one of us, but yet he would correct us very strongly. Not having ill will doesn't mean you don't correct someone if they need to be corrected. Actually, to correct them, that is to say, Prabhu, that what you did is wrong. That is being a benefactor. That is wishing them well. Yes?
Provided you are in a position to do that. Provided you are in a position to
do it. Yeah, if you're not in a position to do it, then you can talk to others who are in a position and get them to do it. Yeah. You can inform an authority that has a position to correct that person what he did so they can correct him. That way you can correct him using somebody else to do it. Anything else? Yeah.
But you mentioned that Vaishnavas are worshipable. Like, the Vaishnavas, the devotees, are worshipable.
Yes, yeah.
So, please correct me if I'm wrong, but the greatest Vaishnava is Shiva.
No, he is definitely the greatest Vaishnava.
So, and he's also considered to be a demigod, and
he's
demigod worship.
Yes, he is considered a demigod in this room.
But
we worship him as a Vaishnava, but not as a demigod. You understand? We hold Lord Shiva with the highest esteem. We worship in our hearts. We worship Lord Shiva. But the Shivites, they worship him as God. That's different. There's a Vaishnava Sampradaya, the Buddhist Sampradaya, coming from Lord Shiva. So we worship him in our hearts as the greatest Vaishnava, but we don't worship him as God like the Shivites do. There's a big difference. That worship and this worship, they're entirely different result. If you worship Shiva as the greatest Vaishnava, then you receive his blessings for pure bhakti, pure Krishna bhakti. But the Shivites, they don't worship him then. They want material boon, just like that Brikashura, huh? He wanted to kill Shiva to get his wife. Is it? So-called devotion. Any other question? Yeah.
I see myself so many times being envious towards devotees.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to change it, but I also see I'm too weak to change this because I don't know, I'm too envious.
Then you have to associate with those who are strong enough to not be envious to devotees, and by that association you can imbibe the same mood. You understand? A Vaishnava, a true Vaishnava, is a non-envious well-wisher of all living entities. This is exemplified by Prahlad Maharaj. You know that prayer in the Bhagavatam? Svastiyastu vishvasya kala prasiddhitam dayanta bhutani shivang matodaya manascha bhajang bhajatam madoksaje veshitam no matarapya haitaki. Prahlad Maharaj is praying, may there be good fortune throughout the entire universe. May all envious persons be pacified. May everyone become calm by practicing bhakti yoga, because by engaging in devotional service, everybody will think of everybody else's welfare. Let us all therefore engage in the service of the Supreme Transcendence, Lord Sri Krishna, and always remain absorbed in thoughts of him. So this prayer is very helpful to conquer envy, by the way. It's in the Bhagavatam, where you actually pray that may be all good for every living entity throughout the entire universe. It's a great little trick to overcome envy within your own heart. Just learn this prayer by Prahlad and pray that every living entity throughout the whole universe can become blessed. That will include the people that you're envious of, you see. And by associating with devotees who are in this non-envious, well-wisher mood, you see, who are the real Sankirtan mood, you see, is to bless everyone with Prabhupada's teachings, Prabhupada's books, the holy names. That's the real So the real key is you have to get in the Sankirtan mood, you see.
You know,
the one you see that everyone is blessed with Krishna consciousness.
You know where the exact verse?
What you can do is send me an email, and I'll give you the exact verse number. Here's my card.
Thank you very much.
Right. Just write me an email. It's somewhere in the fifth canto. You can look it up in the Veda base. Svastiyastu vashvasya prasidatam. Any other questions? Yes?
Conscious of my intention while doing a service. Because most of the time, how do I remain conscious of my intentions while doing any service?
Devi, can you help me?
I was asking,
how you can improve his intentions towards the devotional service?
No? We're talking about pseudo devotees and true devotees.
Pseudo devotees and good devotees.
And being truly Krishna.
Good devotee and pure devotee, okay?
Yeah.
So my question is, like, how do I always remain conscious of my intentions while doing service? Because many times my intentions...
How do you go from being good to being pure, or from bad to being good? Which...
No, how do I remain conscious of my intentions while doing service?
Ah, well, you have to be introspective, Prabhu. A devotee should be very, very honest and always judge himself according to Prabhupada's sublime teachings. Don't blindly think, well, you know, I'm well respected in ISKCON. I'm pretty good because everybody thinks I'm good. They all respectful to me, so now I've got it made. You know, I'm a well respected devotee around ISKCON, so now I've got it made. No. Good is not good enough. One has to become a pure Vaishuddha Bhakta. So one has to always study very carefully the books of Prabhupada, understand what are the symptoms of one who is absolutely pure and fixed in Krishna consciousness, and always judge. Just for example, that one shloka I quoted earlier, Yasmin Stito Nadukena Gurunapi Vichagyate. One who is firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness is completely unshaken even in the heaviest calamities. So is that you? You see? Is that me? I pray for them. So that's how you can understand. You have to read the descriptions in the books and then compare yourself with the description given by Krishna and by Prabhupada, and you can know how much you're actually off the mark, and you can pray to Krishna, my dear Lord, I know I'm supposed to be undisturbed even in the heaviest calamities, but even a little tiny disturbance agitates me like anything. What to speak of a heavy calamity? So my dear Lord, please help me. I'm in a horrible position. I'm just like I'm the most lowly neophyte. I can hardly get off the Kanishta platform to become a Madhyam Bhakta. Please help me, my Lord. Please, Krishna. So one should very honestly scrutinize and compare one's own psyche with the psyche described in the scriptures of the pure Vaishnavas and see how far you're off the mark and pray for that rectification of your consciousness on a regular daily basis. And Krishna will hear your prayers. He will answer your prayers. He will bless you with prema bhakti. If you beg for prema bhakti, if you really want it, Krishna will give it to you. But you have to really want it. Well, I don't think I'm ready for prema bhakti. I think kama mishra bhakti is better for me right now. You see? If you're in that mood, you're not going to get prema bhakti. But if you're begging, Krishna, please, I want nothing but you. I want nothing but you. I'm tired of flirting with your Maya Devi, birth after birth. I'm tired of this. Please bless me. I can have only you as my only desire, you and nothing but you, you see. Krishna, please help me. Please, Krishna. You see, if you intensely beg the Lord, He will reciprocate with them. So actually, we have gone over time. And so we'll stop here. Anybody who has any questions that did not get answered, you can send me an email. I answer you via email. I have an easy address to remember. I am Sankarshan Das Adhikari. So those initials are SDA. And it's like we say, back to home, back to Godhead. You just write an email to sda@backtohome.com, and I will try to help you get back to home. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Srimad Sankarshan Das Adhikari ki jai.